Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Cherie right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, July 8th.
Yes, it is.
And we are ready for a weekend.
Well, Sam's ready for a week, okay? He's got a whole thing coming up.
Yeah, you remembered. That's cool.
Of course I remembered, and I expect lots of pictures. I want some drunk texts. I want it all.
Drunk texts too, huh? Okay, yeah. Well, I'll try to please everybody with the
so
pictures.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Lee and I were talking about that. That would, like, that would be awesome.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I'm
we'll
so
see.
Happy
I'm mostly
though.
Gonna veg though, and
veg.
And nature, yeah. And
I know
like
you
that.
Say that now.
Yeah,
you
right.
Get together with your friends,
right? And we do all kinds
changes.
Of things.
Yeah.
You're right.
I don't even know if I want to know now that I've said. I don't know, all you guys alone in the wild. No telling.
Yeah, that's true, right?
Yes.
Well, it's not really in the wild. I mean, it's like it's a small town, and they live like about 5 minutes out of. The main street, let's say.
Wait,
it's
wait,
got
why
two and a half
thinking,
streets.
Wait, did you tell me y'all were going to camp, though, and stuff?
No, no, we're not camping. They live in sort of like in the, not in the woods, but it like in the wilderness, kind of. It's not, I don't know how to describe
you
it. I've
sent left
pictures.
It alone, like you should have been like, yeah, we're right. going in the wild.
No, because we're not
bears.
Really going in the wild. No, that's not the way it is at all.
I can't imagine.
It's just that they live in a very cool place, you
that's
know.
That's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, so it's like out of town. There's trees, deer, all that kind of stuff. So we'll see, but maybe we'll do some hiking. That's a good idea to do. We never do that, you know. They have like a stream and things like that going around. So
it's going to be pretty.
Maybe we'll do that. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. And yeah, so we'll just post things and stuff. Did you like our cartoon?
Oh, but I was just about
isn't
to talk
that
about
like
that?
That was
that
hilarious.
Was hilarious. They it reminded me. Well, you know, like they did it at the Santa Monica Pier and stuff. But in New Orleans, they have those artists that do the cartoon
yes,
review and stuff
yes.
like that. And it brought me back to that. But that was
really,
really funny. A lot of people yeah. liked it, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, people love it. You know, we put up a little cartoon logo that I'm having like a few artists give me their versions and
yeah.
stuff. So this was the first one. So we'll see what comes out. But it doesn't really look like us, but it captures the essence
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, because it's like,
you know, it's
and
like,
I told you, honestly, I don't like that picture of me. Not the the picture, but I don't
oh,
care.
Really? You don't like that
it's
one?
It's not my favorite, but I don't care because it's like, it's about us and it's fun.
No, well, we can do more, really.
Yeah.
We'll
but,
do more pictures. I have a good photographer, so we'll do some professional pictures.
Yeah, I mean, it's not my favorite, but it is fun. And that
yeah.
cartoon, though, was just, I love stuff like that. So
I know, I know,
up.
I love that. And
yeah.
people loved it. A
yeah.
lot of people did.
They made you look kind of slick there.
They
like in a good way.
No, I don't know. I thought it was, they made me look ugly on there, but. Whereas you're like beautiful and everything. Well, it reflected life.
No,
you know?
I think well, the cartoons are not supposed to look like exactly
that's
like
true.
You just kind of exaggerate the features. It's like the funny.
No, absolutely. You know,
like
but
people, well, they know the cartoon, the exaggerated cartoon faces. That,
exactly. Yeah.
yeah. Like
that's
real.
What I was telling the guy. I mean, a couple of guys were saying, well, it doesn't quite look like you. And maybe the nose is not correct. And the eyes are not right. And I said, yeah, but it's just cartoons. It's fun. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. I mean,
doesn't
it's
have to
definitely
look exactly
the features
like
were exactly, or definitely exaggerated.
Yeah.
Put it like that on both of us. But it was just funny.
Yeah, so it's cute. And you guys can see it on Facebook if you want, on my page. Other than that, in a couple of minutes, we're going to be joined by our guest in the studio. And she's made an amazing movie that we're going to talk about and everything. She does a lot of other things. I mean, she seems like. She does a million things, you know, so I always envy people that have so many different interests, you know, although I do too, you know, but I don't know if envy is the right word, but
admire.
Maybe admire, yeah,
yeah,
respect, appreciate.
Absolutely.
You know, because like you go on social media and some people are just about one thing, you know, mm-hmm. like all they put up is puppies or all they put up is like, you know, their selfies.
Or they lie about things that they do. Too.
Yeah, right.
Those people, you know,
yeah.
let life speak for itself. you know, I feel you just have to do that. But I think like people who can handle multiple things or actually get things done, I admire them because it's hard to, anyone can have ideas and all these great things, but to actually, you know, execute them and to follow through with them, it's good. That not
yeah.
everybody could do that.
Yeah, you know? And it's cool to be able to look at other things other than just the one thing, you know. I mean, some people, like, they have sports on their mind. That's all they're known for, sports. Some people are like, you know. But, you know, like I said, some people are about puppies and cats and things like that. But but many people have different diverse interests, and that's the cool thing.
Yeah.
So how are you doing?
Better. I had a little cold the other day, and I was, look, another, is it a hummingbird?
Yeah. No, it's not a hummingbird, but still.
Yeah, let's just pretend it is. But no.
Wow, no, she's Sam really and close. I, like, have take a picture.
The other day, yeah. Is it closer to you?
Yeah. Here, we have a bird here on the fourth floor, folks, so we have to
take, like,
a picture.
It's like looking at us and talking. Look at that. Sam and I are distracted right now, but it's really cool.
Yeah, well, it just flew away.
The other day.
Everybody's going, what the hell are they doing? They have a radio show
because,
to do.
But y'all understand, like, the other day they were like, well, probably last week or week before, they were like, two hummingbirds. Remember that?
Yes, yes.
And I'm like, that was really cool.
I know. It really is, you know. Because you usually don't think that birds fly this high, you know, but they do.
Well, it was just the way they were, like, hovering around us. Right. It was really, really cool.
I know. I mean, for a hummingbird, can you imagine how fast those wings have to fly to move in order for it to hover?
Yeah.
Right?
They stay.
It's like a helicopter, man.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And as I say, if anytime you start to feel run down or a little sick, the best thing is, like, you know, vitamin C and just sleep. Sleep.
Sleep helps.
And then gargle with salt water. But almost, not even so much as salt, as hot as you can take it. Mm. And just keep gargling. And I swear, it's like, I don't think I feel 100%, but I almost feel like 95% better already. Just good. From that. And I didn't even sleep it all off.
Yeah.
But.
And you should try always a matzo ball soup. Always does miracles.
Yeah. Well, I had some soup actually I got, but I was going to get eat it, but I just couldn't. At that point, I was like, I just didn't even want to deal with it. So it's there.
Yeah. Like, do you ever go to the delis here, like Jerry's Deli and places
that?
Yeah. Uh-huh. They have cool stuff there.
Yeah.
So just a couple more things. So do you have any plans for the weekend and just hang out? Or?
Yeah, probably going to go to Brentwood tonight. And then tomorrow my friend Wendy's having a party. So should be interested at her place. So
we're still waiting for her to visit the show.
I know.
Right?
Yeah,
I've seen pictures of her. She seems pretty nice.
Yeah, she's fun.
Yeah.
And and then I don't know. The rest is kind of up in the air.
Sounds good to me.
There's always something.
Well, you have a whole week to get into trouble. So.
I know. It will happen. It is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I like that.
Okay, well, So that's what's going to happen, folks, and we're going to be off the air next week until Friday. We'll be back here a week from today, and so you guys will get the best of, like, that's how usually it's done.
Right. You'll get the best. You'll get some good stories, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, I meant the week we're gone, they're going to listen to repeats of
Of course they are. And then, but I'm saying on Friday, they're going to have some fun listening to
stories. Yeah, we'll have some stories, yeah.
Yeah.
Although some stories may not be told, but, you know, we'll see. We'll have to filter them out.
He's be like, I wrestled a bear, and I, like, jumped through fire.
Yeah, wrestled the bear in the bar, baby.
Right? I can't wait.
It's a one-bar town, you know? That's what I'm saying. I mean.
And it's going to be such a contrast. Like, your stories in the mine are always, like, the big, like, dramatic, like, stupid stuff, and yours are, like, the adventurous. But it's so much fun.
No, that's true. That's true, yeah. I know all your glamorous parties and everything. But,
I swear to you, that they're a lot of fun. I enjoy those. But I always say I have more fun when it's just, like, the small, like, my real close friends just having a barbecue, just chilling. That is always the best times I've always had.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
No, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, you party in style, and that's the bottom line.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I'm saying you can party and everything, and it's great. But I definitely, like, you know, that 4th of July party was wonderful, and I appreciated all that, and it was wonderful. They did a great job. But sometimes I have more fun just, like, kind of keeping it small and simple. I love that.
Yeah.
There's nothing really pretentious. Everybody's just chilling and just relaxing. It's just more fun.
Yeah, that's true.
And I just get claustrophobic on that. Did I tell you a story how I thought I was going to jump off the boat just because, like, I told Wendy, not in a bad way, but I told her before we left, I said, do you understand? When we go on a boat, like, we're in a boat.
Yeah,
what
you
if
can't
I get
go
bored?
Anywhere.
What if somebody annoys me? I said, listen, I don't mind jumping into the marina and swimming. Like, I have no problem with that because, you know, I like doing stuff like that. And she's like, no, don't do that. You're in a white dress. I said, I don't care. And then by the end of the day, though, like, because there was such turbulence in the water. Well, the water was so bumpy and all kind of, like, Gatorade and drinks just flew all over my dress. So you see, it doesn't matter. And they were so polite, though. The people were like, "Are you? I'm so sorry." And I'm like, "Dude, it's a dress. I can wash it. I can throw it away. I don't care. This is so much fun."
Yeah.
I had the most fun, and I worry about myself because It was the best time I had was when everybody was screaming. Like, the girls were screaming. Even the dudes were trying to be, like, all cool like they weren't scared.
Yeah.
But, I mean, drinks were falling. People were falling. Wow. I was like, "This is awesome." And I was sober. I just thought it was so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, this is so great. Then it kind of got calm again. Then I was bored. And then it hit the water again, and it was awesome.
Yeah, wow.
I like stuff like that, though.
Yeah, it's fun.
If you know that you're safe and you're not going to die, then you can enjoy the ride. You know what I mean? Yes. I knew we weren't going to be hurt or injured. So I'm like, "You guys need to just have fun with this."
Right?
Yeah.
That's true. But you guys were out in the ocean, mm-hmm. right? It's not like you stayed in the marina.
Yeah, we kind of went out a little bit.
Yeah.
As far as I can remember. Yeah.
Because
at one point
fun.
There was some drinks, and I tried to go. There was like a 3-story, and I tried to go up the stairs, and the water was just everywhere, and the drinks were flying. I got some of it on film. It was, and everybody in the back was like screaming, and I'm just like, "This is awesome."
Oh, well, that's Sherry for you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to bring in our guest right now who's sitting here patiently. We're joined by Kimberly Zolkowski. Welcome to the show, Kimberly.
Thank you.
Do you like Kim or Kimberly?
Kim.
Okay. Kim. Okay, then we'll call you Kim. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So I understand you actually live in Milwaukee, or you work there. What is the situation with Milwaukee? Get a little close to the mic.
I live in Milwaukee.
Uh-huh.
I was born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, cool. So so are you visiting us now, or are you living in L.A. now? What's the situation?
I'm visiting right now. We're actually shooting a short right now.
Really?
So I broke away from set to come visit you guys.
Oh.
How cool is that?
Special.
Yeah. So how long will you be staying in town?
I will be here until Monday this time around.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you've already done most of the work on the on the short and stuff?
Yes, it's a short. We've done all of our prep work and roundtable reading and all of that, and we started filming this morning.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
So it sounds pretty short. How short is the movie?
It's pretty short.
Really? So like only a few minutes or?
Yes, it's about 15 minutes.
15 minutes,
yes,
okay.
Yes, but it's within that 15 minutes, it's a very deep story. It's called The Last Day, and it revolves around a happy family who winds up at the divorce table, and they have to make that decision whether or not they're going to go through with that divorce. But in that 15 minutes, it actually takes you through different scenes and scenarios of their time together and their life together, and how so quickly a loving family can become a distressed family and wind up in a divorce table.
Wow.
So I can't tell you what happens after
that.
But
wow.
Yeah.
Just, it's
well, yes, you can if we force you to. No, but we want to really see the movie, and then we'll enjoy it. We don't want any spoilers or anything.
Right,
you know? So that's good. Now, did you write the film?
Actually, Yolanda T. Ross wrote the film. Mm-hmm. I'm producing it, and I'm the executive producer on the project. Stephen Curtis is directing it, and he's doing a great job, by the way. I almost didn't come here because he's doing such a good job. I was captivated.
Yeah, huh?
Awesome. Shout out to Stephen.
Yes.
And so what is the name going to be for this film?
It's called The Last Day.
The Last Day? Day?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Sounds pretty ominous to me.
And do you have an idea of when it's going to come out?
We're actually filming it, and we're going to submit it to Sundance.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Wow. So, but you've made movies before. This is not your first film.
No, this is not. My first film was Grandma's House, which is my story that I did write regarding my grandmother, Marjorie Harris. It was to pay homage to her and grandmothers and caregivers around the world. So it was a personal film, and it was a great film.
Really?
Yeah.
And when did you make that one?
We made that one last year, and it went to AMC theaters.
Really?
And now
cool.
We are looking into distribution for Netflix, Amazon.
That's so
something
great.
Like
that's
that.
Very
yeah.
nice. And I saw a clip of this. You have a trailer on YouTube. If you guys want to check it out, look up Grandma's House. And grandma's house full trailer, I guess. You'll see it's pretty intense.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of great acting there, too.
Yes, yes. It stars Loretta Devine, played my grandmother, and she did an amazing job.
She really did.
She really, really brought the character to life.
Right.
And Wendy Raquel Robinson plays a version of my mother in a version. She played a version of a variety of my aunt, and she really she hit it home.
Really,
did an excellent job. We had Flex Alexander did a great job. Jasmine Lewis, Coco Jones. And so our cast was just awesome. We had an all-star cast, and they really, really did a great job.
Wow. So what was the process of finding all these people and bringing them on board?
Well, Loretta Devine, I wanted, and I knew that I wanted her to play the role.
Oh, really?
So we just went after her manager and her agent and said, look, this role was, you were born to play this role. And they accepted the offer. So I really did not have anyone else in mind for Margie. Loretta Devine was who I had in mind.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you wrote this with her in mind,
yes.
Would you say?
Yes.
Really?
That's
yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
That's,
wow.
Yeah.
Before you even knew she would say yes,
yes.
Right?
She didn't have a choice.
Yeah. She put it out there.
I would have stalked her.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I would be extremely flattered if someone wrote a movie with me in mind, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That's very cool. So, I mean, it's a big deal to make a movie.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
How did you get started in this? I mean, how did you feel like I can actually do this?
Well, I've always been a writer, and I've always wanted to project my stories and project my life on a bigger scale, a larger scale, because I felt that my stories could help empower others. Especially abused and neglected children, and maybe we'll talk about my childhood and my past growing up in foster care or not, but that is who I am,
right.
And I claim that title because so many abused and neglected children don't speak out, and I felt if I could project to them that your circumstances doesn't have to make you a victim.
Right.
They could actually empower you to do something in the world, like telling your stories to a larger audience and letting them know that you overcame those obstacles that should have really destroyed you.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I commend you for sharing that because it takes a lot of bravery, and I think that's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. It takes a lot of courage and stuff. So you first... So when you wrote this, was this meant to be like a screenplay, or did you first write a story like a book? How did it work for you?
Yes, it was more like a book, putting different stories about my grandmother down on paper, reliving a lot of the moments that I had with her, and then turning it into a script form.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Very good. And had you written screenplays before?
I had not.
Really?
This was my first one.
Yeah.
Like I said, I have a lot of stories, a ton of notebooks, over 100.
Wow.
With different stories and storylines and plots in them. But it was actually my director, Paul D. Hanna, who helped me turn it into a screenplay.
What?
Because I had no knowledge of how to do that.
No, right,
right?
I know.
But,
I wouldn't either, but yeah,
now
you have
I have
to learn
it.
It.
I got it.
Yeah.
Very good. Did you find that it was difficult to transition from writing a book or full-length stories to actually a script where it's like a watered-down version, if you will? I don't know.
It was not difficult. It was very exciting, mm-hmm. And it was very emotional.
Really?
It was an emotional process, yes.
Wow. Because you had to visualize how things are happening.
Yes,
right?
you visualize it and you relive it. You know, you actually relive it in order to really, really bring those characters to life. You have to really meditate and think on them, relive things that, you know, that happened 20 years ago that you buried. It's
yeah,
like, okay,
right.
I need to bring this out because Alex Thomas plays one of my uncles in the movie. And yes, he's very watered down. However, you do see that picture of him and what my grandmother was dealing with him and what we were dealing with as as a family with that character. And Alex Thomas is a comedian, so he had never played a theatrical role in that way. You know, he's used to making people laugh. And yeah. in Grandma's House, you don't only laugh, you cry right. with his character. And Alex Thomas did an amazing job making that transition, and I was so proud of him.
Yeah.
It was just magic to see that.
Wow. Very cool. I want to play, maybe we'll play like a few seconds of the trailer just so people get a little idea mm-hmm. of what the movie is about.
Okay. Hey now,
what it do? This is my mother's wedding day. It's the happiest day I can remember. This is the last time I remember us truly happy.
Like the way things are between us right now, honey.
Say it. I see you want to say it. Say it. Okay, I dare you to say it.
I'm just tired of this arguing.
Come be honest with me. I know you're not happy, Mom. Why don't you just leave?
Daddy, I need to take your brothers and go down to the car. Go
mm-hmm. You will not keep my children from me.
Wow, so there's like drinking and violence and yes. all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, it's a very broken family.
Yeah.
And its foundation is Grandma's House.
Yeah.
And that's where everyone comes to kind of collect themselves and heal from just being out in a very broken world and broken relationships.
Yeah. So she's sort of like the anchor of everything, right?
She's the anchor. She's the pillar, right. not only of her family, she's also the pillar of her community.
Wow.
So there are also individuals like Jordan Calloway who lives there because his mother passed away. So she takes Jordan in as her own child. And Jordan has his own struggles because he's caught into a conflict of, do I go and, you know, make money on the streets, or do I try to pursue my education? And is it possible that I could get a football scholarship, or is it just a pipe dream? So she helps Jordan to believe in himself as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so now you have relatives that you have characters based on.
Yes.
Do any of them have a problem with the way you portray them in the film?
They do not have a problem with the way that I portray them in the film because I shed a very good light on them.
Really?
Right? That's tricky, too.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
I made them look better.
No. Right. Really?
Did you ask before? Did you tell them? Like, did you ask their permission, or you were just like, this is what I'm doing?
Oh, no. It's right. better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Right? Right? I like that.
I like that. Right? Yeah.
No, but there were a lot of rumors that circulated. You know, there were my family was in an uproar because they weren't sure what I was going to tell or how I was going to portray them. And I just kept telling them this movie is called Grandma's House, and it's to pay homage and tribute to my grandmother and the woman that she was and the legacy that she left behind. It's not Kimberly's story.
Right.
When I tell my story, I won't change names and I won't water things down.
Yeah.
Wow,
so yes, that's to come.
So there's another version, the director's cut.
Yes, right? and they should be very afraid of that one.
Oh God. Yeah, maybe leave that one for the next generation after the old past, you know? So you won't have any problems. But no, you're trying to actually show a good story,
yes.
at least positive outcome,
yes,
would you
yes,
say?
Yes, it's a very good message. It's a positive message. Grandma's House is a movie that the whole family can enjoy. And that was very important to me also, is to create a film that I could be proud to show my children.
Yeah. Right.
And that they wouldn't, you know, be like, okay, my mom did this movie, I don't like it. Because my children are my critics, so.
How many children do you have?
We have 3 biological children, but we've been foster parents to over 27 children.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah.
Is so that like an inspiration from your grandmother?
It's an inspiration for my grandmother, but from also being in the foster care system.
Right.
So I knew that the moment I turned 18, I was going to become a foster parent.
That's really
did.
Cool.
Wow. Because you wanted to provide, you saw it from the other side, and you figured, this is what I want to give kids when I'm able to. And so they don't fall through the cracks and stuff, right? Because
right.
the system is horrendous, wouldn't you say, the foster care system?
The foster care system needs a lot of work.
Yeah.
It needs a lot of work. And I think that those of us who have been in foster care and who actually come out on the right side, the positive side, the mentally stable side, should really in some form or another become a part of the system.
Right.
Because it is so hard to explain the stigma of being a foster child unless you've been one.
Can you explain, I mean, if you don't mind sharing some of that, because I'm curious,
okay.
How does it exactly does it work? Do you stay there for a certain amount of time or until they don't want you there? How does this work, fostering?
Well, I will tell you, when we went into foster care, there were certain things that my biological mother needed to meet, certain conditions, court conditions that she needed to meet in order for us to return home. And that was standard for all children who were taken into out-of-home care, is that the court places conditions on the family for them to return home. And those conditions can include anything from parenting classes to AODA treatment, to finding stable home and a stable income. And once you meet those conditions, you are able to get your children back. And our situation, in my situation personally, the conditions were never met for me to return home. And when things like that happen, usually if there is no adoptive resource for you, you end up just aging out of foster care.
Yeah.
And aging out of foster care is a really sad thing.
Wow.
Because then you really... Children who age out of foster care don't have a family to call their own.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't have any place to go back to. And the day you turn 18, literally, they kick you out of the system.
Oh, my God.
So yeah. That's it. You're done. It's like,
yeah.
And where do you go? I mean, what if you have no place to go?
Then you have no place to go.
Oh, my God.
Wow. So tell us how you ended up in that system. Why were you there? Where were your parents?
I did not know where my father was at the time. I met my father in my adult years, but my mother struggled with substance abuse and keep providing a shelter for us.
Uh-huh.
And because of that, we endured a lot of abuse.
Right.
Sexual, physical, mental abuse.
Yeah.
And finally, the system, after 3 years of investigation, which... I don't know why it took 3 years for them to provide us with, you know, a safe environment. But after 3 years, they did remove us and placed us throughout different homes, some relative homes, some not relative homes. There was eight of us that went into... My mom has 12 children, and I'm the second oldest. So there were eight of us that went into out-of-home care, and we were all separated.
Oh my gosh.
And people always ask me, what's the worst thing that's ever happened? And the worst thing that has ever happened is that you're separated from your siblings. It's not so much the abuse or the neglect or going without meals or living in poverty. It is the fact that someone can show up and snatch away your family from
your family.
You. And as a child, you don't understand what's going on. You don't understand why your brothers and sisters are places you don't even know where they are. You don't know if they're safe. You don't know what's happening with them. So that was the worst thing.
How old were you when that first happened?
When we were taken into foster care, I was 9 years old.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Let me ask you this. Why do you think your mom had so many kids? That's unusually a lot of kids.
It is a lot of kids. To be honest, I don't know why she had a lot of kids.
Yeah.
I have my own ideas as to why. But really, I do not know why she did.
Yeah. Do you think that maybe at that time they didn't take advantage of birth control? Maybe there wasn't the awareness or something like that? Or do you think it was mostly by design?
I think it was by systematic design, because at that time, depending on the number of children you had, you got assistance from the government. If you had, you know, two kids, you got a certain amount. Obviously, if you had nine kids, you got a whole lot more.
Wow.
And for someone who struggles with substance abuse issues, they're feeding their habit with what the government is giving
them. Yeah, to them, it's like it makes sense, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
It makes sense, but it doesn't.
Yeah, no,
were you able to, like, forgive your mother? Do you speak to her now? Are you okay?
I do speak to my mother now, and I forgave my mother many years ago. I know that we'll never have that mother-daughter relationship that we should naturally have, but I absolutely do forgive her. I hold nothing against her, and I feel sorry for my mother because she doesn't know the benefits of being a mother.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, and that's unfortunate. You know, you have that many kids and you still don't know how to enjoy being a mother because you have drug abuse or whatever, you know. Wow.
But it's good for your soul that you still forgave her. Like, it was for you. That's healthy that you were able to forgive her and just kind of still love her, but from a distance.
Yes.
I think that's important. Mm-hmm.
And I feel sorry for her because I'm a mother.
Right.
And I can't imagine not taking care of my children. I can't imagine missing their first day of school or, you know, just their birthdays, for example, or just, you know, all of their milestones. You know, them losing their first tooth is like, we act a fool about it.
Yeah.
You know, every little thing is just, it's huge to me with my children because I did not have those things. So I understand the importance of them.
That's so beautiful. So you love being a mom. And
oh, I love being a mom.
Yeah. You light up when you talk. It's so pretty,
You see, that's the thing. Some people welcome their kids, and some people, for them, their kids is an obstacle, you know? And it's very sad, you know? Yeah. I mean, I've seen it in my own family, too. My cousin, for crying out loud, had four kids and often behaves like, or behaved, at least when I was in touch with him, as though they're an obstacle for him. Yeah. And I'm like, what the hell? You know, you have like such an opportunity. Some people would love to have kids and they don't, they can't. And you have like four beautiful kids. And, you know, of course, I never told them that because we never got to that point talking about it. But I felt that he's missing out on a lot. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is the kids remember that. So even if you want to become involved in their lives later on, there's still that hole, you know?
Yes, yes. And also, like, you know, children, this is the next generation. So what you have is a bunch of children who were abused and neglected. They are now adults, and they do not know how to function in society. They do not know how to forgive. They do not know how to hold down a steady job. They do not know how to have positive and relationships.
Yeah, so all this abuse can ruin your life.
It can ruin you, yes. And then we have a whole lot of work to do to try to help these adults to heal.
Yeah.
Because they didn't get it. They didn't get that nurturing when they were children.
Yeah. And they don't see it sometimes because, like, that's all they know. It's like, you know, you grow up in a certain way and you just, that's what you know. So you continue those habits or you date people like that or, you know what I'm saying? How did you break that cycle or overcome it?
I will tell you what I did was the exact opposite of everything that I saw my mother do. It was the exact opposite. If I saw a guy coming that even closely resembled anything that reminded me of her relationships, because we don't all have the same fathers. So there are many abusive men in and out of the household. So the characteristics and the traits that I saw through her friends and those that abused us, I stayed clear of those things.
Yeah.
And I have an incredible husband. We just celebrated our 19th wedding anniversary.
Aww. And she's smiling like, I love this. I want to hear how you met him.
I know. It's like she looks 19. I know. I'm like, you know, when did you exactly get married?
We got married right away. But I married my best friend.
That's awesome.
And he accepts all of me. And including, you know, my past and my background and my siblings and everything, you know, it was just a total package. And before I said yes to his proposal, I said, I want to be a foster parent. And he said, okay.
Wow.
So he shares that humanitarian heart as well. And he's phenomenal.
How did you meet him?
He was actually a school teacher at my younger brother's school, and he was trying to help my brother and reach out to him because he knew that my brother was struggling. And my brother at the time, he was in foster care, but my brother was bad. So he was always getting suspended and getting in trouble, but I played the mama bear. So I would go and reinstate him in school and help him out. And my husband said, you know, hey, I really want to help your brother. Is there something going on? You know, is there some way that I can help him? And I said, my brother does not need your help.
I love it.
And I told my brother, don't talk to him. We don't trust him. We don't trust anybody. And my brother is like, why? He's cool. He gets me out of detention. You know, he helps me out. And I was like, no, you do not talk to him. So it started out where my guard was really, really up. Yeah. And there was a situation that my brother got himself into at school, and the police needed to be called. And then I was called. I was still in high school. So I was called at high school. My brother was in middle school, and they said, you need to get here right away. And then my husband said, if there's anything that you want to tell me in order to help your brother, the time is now. And then I knew that he was someone who would help us.
They really cared,
yes,
right?
Yes. So he stepped in and he helped me in big ways.
Yeah. And then you fell in love with him, right? With your rescuer.
Not at first.
At first, it was just like friends.
It was friends, because I was very cautious with things right, that I had gone through. So it was a friendship, and I actually tried to hook him up with my elementary school teacher because I thought they would make a great, cute couple. I mean, they both like cats, you know. They're both very helpful. So I tried to, you know, make a love connection there, and never, ever thinking that he and I would end up together.
Wow.
That just...
And obviously it was meant to be 19 years for
yes.
crying out loud. You know, you have quite a history together.
Yes.
And isn't it amazing how the circumstances brought them together? You know, like adverse circumstances mm-hmm. actually came out, you know, beneficial for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I want to ask a chick question, though. I can't help myself. So how did it, like, finally evolve into, like, romantic, or you realize, like, I like this guy, or...
Well, he approached me. I asked him how things were going with Chris. That's who I tried to set him up with. And he said, you know what? If you're going to try to hook me up with somebody, why don't you find me somebody who's just like you?
Wow.
And I was like... And
that's a big...
Yeah, and but that went over my head.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was trying to think, like,
yeah, she's thinking, who else?
Who is just like me? Like, you know, who could it be? You know, so that was the big clue right there.
Right.
And then shortly after that, it's just one thing led to another. Wow. And he proposed with a dog tag. I still don't know how to feel about that one. But he had a dog tag made that said, will you marry me?
Wow.
Like, maybe.
See, that's cute. You know, yeah. That's original.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how many kids did you say you have now?
Three.
We have three biological children. Yes.
Wow, very
yes.
nice.
Our oldest is 15, Isaac. Jacob is 13, and my daughter Chloe is 9, and she's actually on set right now because she's in The Last Day.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. So you get the family involved in that too, huh?
Yes, yes.
And what does your husband do?
My husband actually helps run the businesses that we have now, but he taught for 29 years, and then he came out. So he was a special needs teacher.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I was looking on your website here, and you actually have other companies too, right?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit
yes,
about that.
Yes, we do. We have Harmony Social Services, which is a foster care agency. And we license homes and we place children, treatment foster children. So we get what is considered the worst of the worst children.
Well, yeah.
And we find homes. We train those parents to take care of those children. Either they have severe behavioral issues or medical needs as a result of being born addicted to drugs or something like that.
Yeah.
And we train those parents to care for the needs of those children. And we also specialize in sibling placement. So we
that's great.
Take sibling groups and we keep them together.
Wow. You see, now that's important.
That's yes. beautiful.
That's why, that's what I was going to ask before. Yeah. Why don't they try to keep them together?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of times it's difficult because the children have a lot of issues.
Yeah.
And foster parents are afraid to take on three kids or four kids who are all labeled, you know, ADHD or emotionally disturbed or, you know, anger issues, or imagine having four bedwetters. Yeah. You're constantly getting new mattresses.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is a challenge. It is a challenge to take multiple children. However, the reward in it is so much greater and better than you know, than not. And that's what we try to get them to see, especially during the training process, is we let them know this is the type of child that you are signing up for.
Yeah.
This is what's going to happen. They're going to have a lot of issues. They're going to wet the bed. They might even wet in the closet. And you might not know because they're going to hide it.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And
wow.
Do you see, like, how much it changes people and touches their heart and how they've changed?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we have foster parents who have been with us from the beginning, and they just, you can't tell that those children are foster children. We have the best foster parents, and I believe that is because myself, as well as my business partner in Harmony, Jocelyn, she's an adoptive parent, so she adopted three siblings.
Oh, wow, that's
and
so cool.
Myself growing up in foster care, it's personal to us, so we see you coming. We have turned people away at the door who have come and tried to be licensed through our agency because we can tell, you know, there's a natural instinct there whether or not you're going to be a good foster parent or not.
Yeah, that's true. Well, in the last few minutes, Kim, why don't you introduce us with your friend, colleague, whoever he is to you, so we can also find out from him, because he's sitting here all show, and we definitely don't like to ignore people. So get closer to the mic, Josh, and go ahead, tell us who he is.
Okay, this is Josh. He works for me with Faith Family Services, which is our agency that takes care of disabled and elderly people in their homes.
Right.
And Josh has put on many hats. He also handles our websites and our Instagram and Twitter. So when you're tweeting things to us, Josh is the one that responds to all of that.
Wow. So Josh, so you're involved with the healthcare and the caretaking, caregiving, and all that?
I'm more of like an outsider as far as the, the health goes. basically, you know, I started working there and, you know, it was an office full of women. You know, I was the only man hired there.
Oh, look at Sam.
So
I
ended up...
See, that would be attractive.
I ended up doing all the things that they don't do.
I see. So okay. Well, that's cool.
Cleaning, even sometimes security.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're from Milwaukee too, right?
Yes.
And so you guys travel around when you work on the movies and things like that?
Yes, depending on where we're filming.
Uh-huh.
We like right now we're filming obviously in LA, but our movie 53206, which is the zip code in Milwaukee that I grew up in and came from, we're actually filming that in Milwaukee.
Uh-huh.
And we're using all 53206 talent.
Oh, that's
really cool.
Yeah. Are you going to be part of the movie, Josh?
Maybe some more outsider work.
But, I mean, do you have any desire to get into entertainment at all?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You do, right?
Yeah, I mean, I like doing all the promoting and the marketing.
Behind the scenes?
Yeah, I'm more like an assistant to Ms. Kim for being her assistant since she's the producer,
right?
And stuff like that.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And so, for those of you just joining us, actually, we're just about to wrap up, but we're talking to Kim. So, your website. Go ahead and give your website out.
My website is MsKimProductions.com.
And spell that out for people.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
MZKIM. ProDu.
Yeah. Productions.
Yeah, productions.
She's like,
yeah.
Wait.
It's MZKimProductions.com.
Yes.
Okay. And if you guys just look it up, Google it and stuff, I'm sure you'll find it. So, you see, and that's the thing, when I saw this about Faith Family Services, I thought, this is exactly what we're going through with my parents right now. Mm-hmm. We have caregivers for them and all that stuff. And I thought, wow, then I'm going to meet someone who can maybe we can use Emergency Services, and then I realized, oh, she's in Milwaukee. You know, now, so, but you guys only service that area, right?
Yes, we service Milwaukee and the surrounding counties.
Right.
Do you think you'll expand, or you kind of want to stay in Milwaukee?
Yes, we want to stay in Milwaukee. We have enough clientele to stay in Milwaukee.
That's home for you, for both of you. Yeah. Did you grow up there, Josh?
I grew up in southeastern Wisconsin. I mean, I've moved all over. My parents like moving every couple of years, it seemed like.
Really?
But I was born in Milwaukee, and like the first house I lived at was actually a suburb of Milwaukee.
I see.
And
okay.
Then we moved on from there.
And but did you guys stay in Wisconsin all this moving around?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh wow.
It was all probably within like a 50-mile radius.
Oh wow, that must have made you crazy, huh? I mean, how do you make friends? You know, it's like every time you make friends, you have to leave. I mean, I know because it happened to me. I mean, by the time I was 16, we moved four times in adjacent towns, but still to the point where, you know, you're a little kid, you're not really in touch with these kids across town. It's not like today, so you would have to kind of leave your friends behind, you know. So I see what you're saying, man. Well, this is great. So Kim, anything else you might want to add? Should we, how can people find you if they want to contact you and everything?
We're on Facebook. And we have Instagram, Miss Kim Productions, Twitter. We Google searching.
Yeah, exactly. Just, remember Miss Kim, MZ Kim Productions. And Kim's Zolkowski is the last name.
Yes.
And if you just look, I'm sure if you look for Miss Kim in Milwaukee, you're sure to find her.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Thank you guys for doing all this, because this is a really beautiful thing. And I mean, it's helping so many lives and souls. And that's amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, really of cool. course. Enjoy so it. You guys check them out and see all the stuff. And now, so where can people see Grandma's House? I mean, that's the bottom line. Where can people actually see it?
That's a great question. Yeah. We are looking into distribution right now. And we're really, really hoping to get picked up by Netflix, like I said, or Amazon, someone.
Yeah,
because
that
it's
be
a
cool.
great movie, and the world needs to see it.
Right.
So we're currently working on distribution very hard right now.
Right. And now, and it doesn't make sense to put it on the website for now. You don't want to give away the whole movie, right?
No, we don't want to give away the movie.
Yeah, okay.
And you need money to make money, so.
Yeah. No, that's true. Well, maybe you would.
I need to sell it.
No, that's true, but maybe you can just sell it online, you know, that people can watch online. And because a lot of people can stream from the computer or the tablets to the TV and everything else. So you might want to consider that. I don't know, not to give it away, but like I said, you just stream it so then people can't steal it either, you know.
Yes.
But you want to make Yeah, she wants to have a big bang for the movie, and I understand that, you know. And kudos to you, because you're thinking big, you know. You're not thinking, hey, we're a web movie here. This is like major stuff, you know.
Yes, yes.
Awesome. Absolutely. Well, Kim, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, Sam.
Of course. I'm sure you've obviously revealed a lot of your life and your work and everything.
Yes.
And sounds like you've been through a lot.
Yes, I have been through a lot, but I am not a victim. I'm victorious.
There you go.
So there's a big difference there. And I really appreciate you having me on the show.
Of course.
I also want to do a quick shout out to Jade Umbrella, my publicist team, because they're the ones who set this interview up for me, and I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Any more shout outs? I mean, we have a couple minutes. No, actually, we're out of time. But Josh, how about you? Any shout outs or anything? No. Do you want people to find you, social media or anything?
Not as of yet.
Okay.
Josh is funny. He's like kind of sitting over there with a smirk on his face. Don't know what's going on.
Yeah, he's up behind the scenes. Yeah. Leave me alone. All right. Well,
so great.
Kim Zolkowski, thank you so much for joining
thank
us
you
again.
Awesome.
You're welcome back anytime, and
thank
we wish you.
You
much success with the distribution and everything.
Definitely.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Okay, well, Cherie, you have a great week.
You have a great week.
I will have a great week, too. And everybody, thank you for always being here with us. We enjoy being here. Go on Facebook. Tell us if you like the cartoon.
Oh God.
We're gonna have a few other versions made. So
yeah.
We might actually find a better one. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know me. I mean, unless I get perfection, I don't move forward. So
all good.
There you go. Anyway, folks, thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next Friday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Cherie, right?